This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The livestock markets saw limited action early on in the week, the lean hog market seeing some profit-taking following recent highs. Progressive Ag Marketing Analyst Brian Stroman says that the market was mostly quiet throughout the early part of the week.
We look at that market, very close to unchanged as far as the live cattle, feeder cattle go. We had some chart damage done last week with a downside reversal, and the cash was steady to $2 lower, and we're dealing with weights that are 37 pounds heavier than a year ago. So just not a lot of positive news out there. We'll see where this week's cash trades, and the feeders pretty much follow in the live cattle again today.
Stroman says the lean hog market continued seeing profit-taking after its recent highs.
You look at the lean hogs, we had a softer day yesterday and some follow-through selling today. That market's also overbought, and we're seeing some profits come off the table. And then a lower cash market, both cash and cutouts here to start the week, limiting the upside.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending October 31st showed corn inspections of 779,000 metric tons. That's 7% less than the previous week, but 36% more than the same week last year. Soybean inspections of 2.15 million metric tons were 18% less than the previous week and 1% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections of 193,000 metric tons were 34% less than the previous week, but 69% more than a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 34% more than last year, soybean inspections are 3% more than a year ago, and wheat inspections are 35% ahead of last year's pace. The grains markets saw some back-and-forth trading as funds tried jockeying for position ahead of Friday's monthly supply and demand report from USDA. USDA lowered U.S. corn production and ending stocks in the November supply and demand report. USDA pegged corn ending stocks at the end of the 24-25 marketing year at 1.94 billion bushels, in line with trade estimates. Corn production was pegged at 15.14 billion bushels, slightly lower than the average trade guess on a yield of 183.1 bushels per acre. Soybean production is estimated at 4.46 billion bushels on a yield of 51.7 bushels per acre. Soybean ending stocks are estimated at 470 million bushels. USDA raised wheat ending stocks slightly from 812 million bushels to 815 million bushels. Independent commodity research analyst Sterling Smith says slightly lower than expected corn and soybean yields were the biggest takeaways from the November WASDE.
The cut in soybean yields, that was the single biggest item. Cut them from 53.1 to 51.7, expectations for around 52.8. So that was a cut that was bigger than expected. That did lower our carryout from 550 to 470 million bushels, and that did provide a very brief pop for the soybeans.
And global commodity analytics and consulting president Mike Zuzulo was a bit surprised at how much lower the soybean numbers came in.
I think the headline is that we got the expected soybean yield decline, but it was bigger than I think the trade was estimating. USDA going down to 51.7 in the later part of the crop year before the January report. So we're now down to a 470 carryover, taking us below the lowest trade guess on the Reuters estimate. I think that was a big help in taking the ending stocks globally down as well, going from a 134.65 down to a 131.7. The downside is the wheat was a neutral report, and with the Chinese stimulus not being very well taken by the trade, we see that the wheat has once again become the leader to the downside.
That was a look at the markets this week in agriculture. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
There is pride in every American heart, and it is time we stand and say that the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And we're proud to be Americans, where at least we know we're free. And we won't forget the men who died who gave that right to be free. And we will gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt we love this land. God bless the USA.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With your look at news this week in agriculture, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network. Veteran Washington analyst Jim Weissmeyer is describing Donald Trump's win as the greatest political comeback in history. Trump won all of the battleground states and expanded his broad support in rural areas. Heading into the election, there was concern about Trump's likely use of tariffs, especially against China.
I really think we're in a U.S.-China economic war. That's not going to change. Each year we're going to get further and further away from China on trade and economic relations. Across the board, most people tell me that's Trump's use of leverage, and he won't invoke them right away. He's going to negotiate with various countries in what he calls reciprocity. If countries don't treat the U.S. the way he thinks they should, then he'll hit them with across-the-board tariffs.
Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow did not seek re-election. That puts Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar in line to be the ranking member with the change in the Senate majority. Weissmeyer sees more potential for action during the lame duck session.
My sources tell me Klobuchar has really wanted to get the new farm bill done yet this year. And maybe Stabenow will actually file her text on a bill. Because now that Trump is going to win, she could get some things that her party wouldn't get if the Republicans write it next year. And time is of the essence because they're going to have a lot of big ticket issues next year.
In Minnesota, incumbent Senator Amy Klobuchar won re-election with a 16% margin. All of the incumbents will return to Washington, including House Agriculture Committee members Brad Finstead and Angie Craig. Representative Michelle Fischbach won in western Minnesota with more than 70% of the vote. In South Dakota, Congressman Dusty Johnson won another term. Johnson is also a member of the House Agriculture Committee. In North Dakota, Kelly Armstrong moves from his congressional office in Washington, D.C. to the governor's office in Bismarck. Longtime Public Service Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk easily won North Dakota's lone congressional seat. Senator Kevin Cramer won over Democrat Katrina Christensen 66% to 33%. North Dakota voters rejected a measure that would have abolished the state's property tax system. 63% of voters opposed Measure 4. There was also a ballot issue in South Dakota that had the attention of agriculture. The so-called Landowner Bill of Rights became an argument over property rights. With a 60-40 vote, the fate of the carbon pipeline in South Dakota is now in question. West Central Ag Services Board of Directors postponed their special meeting this week. The meeting was rescheduled until November 26th so that the board has time to review the takeover offer from the Arthur Companies. West Central Ag Services patrons were scheduled to vote this week on a proposed merger offer from CHS. In a notice on its website, West Central Ag Services officials said the board was taking the Arthur Company's offer seriously. The additional time will provide more time to evaluate both offers. A sustainable aviation fuel project is coming to Moorhead. DG Fuels will convert biomass, including corn stover and timber waste, into jet fuel. The facility expects to begin production in 2030, producing 193 million gallons of SAF per year. DG Fuels is based in Washington, D.C. and is also building a similar plant in Louisiana. And that's a look at your news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network.
Selling farmland can be a once-in-a-lifetime decision. This is Chris Griffin with Red River Land Company in Grand Forks. With decades of experience in farm real estate, our company and its founder, John Botsford, understand the agricultural landscape and are here to help guide you through the process from start to finish. We encourage you to visit redriverlandco.com to check out our listings and recent sales. If you have land to sell or manage or just want to discuss the land market, let's talk. Red River Land Company, your trusted name in farm real estate.
Despite overwhelming support from Democrats and Republicans, time is running out for Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act, which will keep AM radio in cars. Text AM to 52886 and ask Congress to bring this bill to a vote now. AM radio is too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Midwest can expect a few rounds of rain over the next couple of weeks that will increase soil moisture and slow any remaining harvest activity. World Weather Incorporated says moisture conditions will improve for the winter wheat crop in the southern plains, while the northern plains will see some light occasional shower activity through Thursday. Occasional rain and snow is also expected in the second week of the two-week outlook, along with a trend toward colder temperatures. Much of northern Brazil will see regular rounds of rain and thunderstorm over the next week to 10 days, while central and southern Brazil, as well as Paraguay, will not be as wet. World Weather says much of southern Brazil will dry down, but current soil moisture and timely rains should help ensure good crop development. Argentina will see more sunshine than rain over the next 2 weeks, with one round of timely rain beginning Sunday and moving into Monday. Oahe Grain General Manager Tim Lucan says harvest is pretty much wrapped up in that Oneida, South Dakota area.
And 15% left. It'll be wrapped up this week. Hard part is trying to find a home for this stuff. This area is full. Farmers are piling it on the ground. It's been great yields, great test weight, low moisture's coming out of the field. You know, we've taken in about 1.8 million, but that's what we had space for. We don't pile on the ground here. But there are definitely some big piles in the areas.
Nationwide, 91% of the U.S. corn crop was harvested as of last Sunday. 94% of the soybeans have been harvested. According to USDA's Crop Progress Report, 87% of the winter wheat is seeded. 43% of that crop is rated good to excellent. University of Minnesota Extension soybean agronomist Seth Knave says the weather was detrimental for soybeans this year. Southern Minnesota farmers saw flooded fields turn to drought by the end of the season. Of course, that impacted the crops.
There was soil moisture down there. If we compare it to even the previous year where we had more of a chronic drought all summer, the soybeans still did pretty good. But this year where we started off wet and then we turned dry, it was actually worse for us. It leads me to believe this kind of flash drought that we had was too late in the season for the crop to really go down and find more moisture. The critical period is later in growth than with corn. So this late season dry conditions and a condition where the soybeans weren't able to develop new roots down deeper, find more moisture, find more nutrients, really set us up, and that created problems for us.
The North Dakota State Seed Department Commissioner Ken Birch says seed supplies are good this year, but that doesn't mean you should wait until the last minute to purchase your seed.
I would be checking with my, you know, who I purchase seed from, whether it's a seed dealer or a retailer, anybody that you work with consistently. I'd be checking with them to say, you know, am I safe to wait if I want a particular Westbred or a Syngenta or even some of the public varieties that are out there, just to see what they have on hand or if they're going to be able to get some in. There's a lot of seed that moves. Even starting at this time of year, we'll see a lot of bulk seed moving around the state and even across state line because dealers might be recognizing that a particular variety is going to be in high demand and they're trying to place some in their warehouse or in their bins or something like that. So my advice is always to, you know, check with your seed dealer.
Rains brought widespread improvement to the drought across the Midwest. The recent U.S. Drought Monitor said full category improvements occurred across much of Missouri, most of Iowa, Wisconsin. Drought eased in central Minnesota. However, moderate drought did expand in western Minnesota. Severe and extreme drought expanded in western North Dakota, western South Dakota, eastern Montana, and moderate drought expanded in central South Dakota. That's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
The flag, it is not just a piece of cloth. It's honor, respect, and sacrifice. It's blood, sweat, and tears. It's inspiration, dreams, and hope. It is me, it is you, it is us. I'm American, and I'm free today because someone fought and bled and died for me. I vow that as long as there is breath in me, my body, that their sacrifices will not be in vain. I am the flag.
Check out the job opportunities in agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The Pennington County Farm Service Agency is hiring a full-time temporary program analyst in Thief River Falls. And the Red River Farm Network, we're looking for a farm broadcaster, ag journalist. Find all the details on the job opportunities in agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website, rrfn.com. And if your business has a job opportunity, contact the Red River Farm Network to find your next employee.